people say, let's just get rid of livestock and grow crops instead. That's not possible.
We're really missing the bigger picture.
In a world without cows, we may be giving up one of our best tools to help heal the planet.
If we want to truly mitigate climate change, we need animals on the landscape.
How do we pull that carbon out of the atmosphere and put it back into the soil? That's where livestock come in.
Agriculture holds the key to saving our planet.
What really happens if you take all the cows away?
Are we better off in a world without cows?
A World Without Cows, Friday night's feature film at the 8th Annual Wild Film Fest in Sheridan, October 2nd through October 5th. See the full lineup and get your tickets now at wildfilmfest.org.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it and we'll stand behind it after the sale because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Thursday, September 18th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan County Commissioners Nick Siddle and Holly Jennings, and returning to help us once again wade through the quagmire that is Wyoming Property Tax Code, County Assessor Paul Fall. Good morning, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Paul, I want to thank you for coming in this morning. Wyoming rolled out several new or expanded property tax exemptions this year. We got a lot to talk about, very little time to try and get through this thing. You say your office is pretty busy. Can you give us a quick overview of basically the main ones?
Sure. The main problem we're seeing this year, that we're going to have this year, is the 25% exemption. Last year, it was just applied to all residential properties. So anybody with residential houses, rentals, verbos, whatever, they all got that 25%. So starting this year for 2026 tax cycle year, you have to apply for it. You got to be owner occupied 8 months a year. So that's going to be the hardest one to get people to sign up for, because you have to, there's not a hard copy, it's an online sign up. So we're trying to, we're going to get the word out best we can to get everybody owner occupied to sign up, because it's not going to be automatic this year.
Okay. All right. Now, with these multiple programs on the table, how should residents decide which exemption or refund program best fits their situation? Because there's quite a few caveats that come with all of these.
Not so much caveats, I guess, but if there's, of course, the 4% cap on your house has been in for, it'll be the third year, 4% cap on the land. 2026 will be the second year that's applied. So those are automatic. Nobody has to do anything with that. The homeowner, again, the 25% we're talking about, that is the one that's going to be the hardest, because that you have to sign up and let us know that you live in your house 8 months a year at least to get that 25% discount. And then, of course, you got the long-term homeowner, which was started last year. You got to be 65 and older, you or your spouse, and have paid property taxes for 25 years, not in a row, just 25 years in somewhere in the state of Wyoming. And that you physically have to come into my office to fill out the form. We're going to have forms available. You can fill it out and bring it in. We got to verify your age and all that. Now, we are, for that one, for the people that signed up last year, we're going to have an affidavit that they can fill out, drop off, email it to us. You know, somehow they just got to let us know nothing has changed from last year to get the 50% again. You can only get one. You can't get the 50% and the 25%. So you know, if you're 65 and older, going to qualify for the long-term homeowner, that's a 50% discount, so that's the best one out there. And then if you don't qualify for that, you can apply for the 25% discount.
Okay.
And then, of course, the veterans, that's business as usual. The guys that have signed up just have to let us know they're still with us, and we can sign them up over the phone, email, however they want to do it. And that, they did increase that last year to 6,000 assessed value, so this will be the second year that that has been increased.
That was going to be my next question. Okay. I'm pretty sure that they increased that, and I just wanted to make sure that, that was last year, not this year.
That was last year, yeah. It took effect last year. So,
are there any other common misunderstandings that you would like to get cleared up right away?
Well, the biggest one is going to be the 25%. I'm going to harp on this like no other because it was automatic last year, and I can't emphasize enough to folks that it's, you got to sign up for it this year.
And with this one, there is no hard copy. This is all
this
online.
This is going to be all online. We're going to have a barcode. You can scan the barcode. We're working on flyers. We're going to be at Third Thursday tonight at the county clerk's booth, passing out flyers. Scan it with your phone. Sign up. Here's the, before I get too crazy, October 1st is when this all starts. So if you scan the barcode, it takes you to the website, but you cannot sign up until October 1st.
And Paul, how long do you have to do it? Is it from October 1st till the end of the year? How long is it?
Right. Mm-hmm. This is where the quagmire really comes in. So the long-term homeowners and the vets, you'll have from October 1st till the 4th Monday in May for both of those programs. The 25%, which most people are going to have to sign up for, is October 1st through February 2nd. That's October 1st, February 2nd. So that's where the confusion is going to just be a killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know how we can emphasize enough for people to get online before February 2nd, because if not, you're not getting it.
and when people sit down, and let's look at a bunch of first-time homeowners. When they sit down to do this, what should they have in hand, whether they're coming to your office to get one or they're sitting down online to fill this out?
When they get online, it's going to be a pretty good website through the Department of Revenue. It'll walk you right through it. They'll have instructions how to do it. Basically, you can put in your address. It'll pull up the information you need. If you have your account number, fine. But generally, your last name or your address, and it'll pull it up right for you. So, which will be very helpful for people. You know, the main thing we're trying to do is keep 5,000 people from coming into my office, mm-hmm. because it's, you know, last year we did 2,330 long-term homeowners who physically had to come in, and we did nothing but sign those up for 4 months. So we're trying to keep the lines down in the office. You know, if people have questions, we can help them out. You know, they can call us, whatever. But that's, we're just trying to avoid
that. Streamline.
Yes, the best we can from coming in. So, if, you know, kids, grandkids, help your parents if they're not computer savvy or whatever. But, yeah, that is the main thing we're focusing on this year, is to make sure everybody gets signed up before the deadline. Because it's going to be super confusing with the other two dates for folks. You know, they're going to come in February 10th. Hey, I need to sign up. You know, it's like, well, that ended. Well, I thought I had till 4th Monday in May like the other program. So
now, How do folks verify 25 years of property tax history?
Now, for long-term homeowners, it's on the form itself. They can say, I lived in, you know, my address in Campbell County from 1970 to 80 was this. And they put that on the actual long-term homeowner form. There's a page that they can list all the properties they've owned.
And they can basically be tracked after that.
Yeah, and we don't have the manpower to verify every address or anything like that, but a lot of people can't remember their actual address 30 years ago. But
I'm trying right now.
I was just thinking the same thing. I wonder. Yeah, the property I owned in Fort Bridger, Wyoming. What the heck was the address of that property? Yeah.
I'm thinking just back to 2008. And yeah. I'm like, I can't remember the numbers on the side of that building.
Know. Exactly. Yeah. Those were not, you know, holding you to it. Okay, I lived in Natrona County for 6 years, 5 years. You know, we have no way to you know, verify that anyway.
Yeah.
So as long as you're honest and show us that you're, you know, you have lived and paid taxes for 25 years somewhere in the state of Wyoming. And it doesn't have to be in a row. That's kind of confusing to some people too.
So I can have moved into Montana, Idaho for a little bit, come back. But as long as cumulative, it's all 25 years, then I'm good.
Yep. Could have been out of state for 15 years and moved back for, you know, adds up to
retire or something. Yep, yeah,
exactly. So.
Now, when it comes to seniors, what factors should they weigh in when they're thinking about which one of these they should go for?
Well, if you qualify for the long-term homeowners, that's 50%. So that's kind of a no-brainer. You're going to do the 50%. And that one is, there's no limit. So if you got a $3 million house and you get 50%, you're getting $1.5 million off. Whereas the 25% is good up to $1 million. So if your house is worth 1.5, you're only going to get 25% off the first $1 million.
Okay.
Which equates about $250,000 in assessed value.
When it comes to veterans, if they use their veterans benefit, can they use others?
Yes. Currently, the way you can use them all, so you could come in, the 4% cap is automatic, so you get that on your house and land. If you qualify, say, for the long-term homeowner, you sign up for that, you get 50% off of that. Then after that's taken off, you're going to get another, about $430 if you're in the city, for your veterans exemption off of that. So the veterans, they get the whole benefit too. Okay. And if they qualify for the property tax refund that comes out usually middle April, which is handled through the treasurer's office based on income, they could apply for that and get up to half of their taxes back from the previous year. So the programs, you know, are there to help people that need it. I don't know that it's necessarily always helping the ones that need it, but
now, do you ever find that many veterans and their families might not be aware of the things that they're eligible for?
Once in a while we have veterans that'll come in and hadn't heard about the program or anything. We try to get the word out. You know, I know a lot of entities talk about, you know, make sure the veterans know that's available through us. So yeah, when somebody comes in, has lived here for, you know, you got to be a resident for 3 years before you can qualify for the veterans. But if somebody's been here, you know, lived here their whole life and hasn't heard about it, you know, we always feel bad for that. It's like, well, let's get you signed up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just, unfortunately, I don't know if you don't know, you know what I mean? If they're not, we don't know you're a veteran if you haven't.
Yeah, come down.
Let us know, yeah.
And there's the property tax exemption, but there's also another one on your license plate if you don't take the property.
Right, if you don't own real property, you can get, saves you about $180 on your license plate.
That's the one state, I use, because I don't own property, so I just get the reduction there.
So you get up to $180 off.
Now, beyond exemptions, is the refund program tied to all of this?
No, it's really not tied to this. Now, that is always, so you have to be current on your property taxes. And so the refund program that took effect, that was due by June 1st of 2025, was actually for your property taxes that you paid in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's always, you get a check back from the Department of Revenue from the state for up to half of your 2024 taxes. So that program won't even start until April of 2026 for 2025 taxes.
Okay.
So they're really not.
So you and I will totally see each separate. Other again in April.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Well, that's a treasure, so you get Katie up here. yeah. So, you know, so the hardest part is just the confusion for the taxpayers. I mean, poor people were so confused last year when they came in for the long-term homeowner to apply, and they had both forms for the homeowner, long-term homeowner, and the property tax refund. What, you know, kind of where am I going? What am I doing? You know, my office and treasurer's office are both good to get them here. You know, this program's next door at the treasurer's, or they'll send them back over to me, the assessor's office, for the long-term homeowners. Because they just fall, since you have until the end of May, basically, to sign up both of them. The refund is usually due June 1st.
Mm.
So it kind of gets a little convoluted there, you know, sometimes.
What's the longest you've sat with someone to try and explain this kind of stuff?
Years. Yeah. Usually,
are you referring to me, Paul?
normally, if, you know, last year it was probably 10, 15 minutes, you know, you kind of just try to walk them through each individual program so they understand, you know, what which one they're filling out.
Yeah.
Is, you know, the main thing. So
you were talking about the glossy look I get when you come in here. Yeah. I do have to take a quick commercial break. More with our county commissioners and our county assessor, Paul Fall, right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
So I was recently informed and corrected that a semicolon is not the small intestine. And the same goes for you tuning up or fixing your own 4x4 side-by-side to get it ready for hunting, firewooding, or snow plowing. Because trying that yourself is like doing your own aspendectomy. Messy, painful, and not something you walk away bragging about. That's why you need the specialist at Hando Service Center. So skip the home remedies, get your rig in for a full checkup at Hando's on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Looking for an investment with staying power? Synergy Shop-O-Miniums in Sheridan is the smart choice for stable, long-term returns. Own your own commercial space, lease it, grow a business, or resell for profit. With high demand and limited availability, these Shop-O-Miniums are smart money. Built to last, designed to earn. Don't miss your chance to own real property with real potential. Contact Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Synergy Shop-O-Miniums and invest smart.
Hey, it's Andrew, the Analyst Point, First Northern Bank VIP, airing out my picks in the First Northern Bank Carroll's Furniture Pro Football Pick'em. Here's what happened on the morning show this week.
Jeff, 13 for Andrew, 13 for me, you know, there's another week. We're just
Oh, stop it.
Hey, okay. Here's what I think. Hey, the drive's trying to be
humble here, folks.
Yeah, he's sitting at the top.
I'm not coming up last because I'm humble. It's because I'm in first.
Yeah, you enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah. No, the Thelma and Louise cliff is coming. It is coming. It's just right around the corner.
Good luck, Chuck. Carroll's Furniture VIP here, inviting you to play along for a chance to win a $100 gift card from Pit Crew to You. Click on the Pro Football Pick'em banner on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com and tune in every Wednesday morning to KROE 103.9 FM at 7:30 to hear our picks and how I dominated.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
The Story Woman's Club cordially invites you to the 50th anniversary of our annual turkey dinner, Sunday, October 5th from 11 to 2. Join your family, friends, and neighbors for a delicious turkey dinner with all the trimmings and, of course, our famous homemade pie for dessert. Adults $20, $10 for kids 6 to 10, 5 and under eat free. Dine in or get it to go. Just one more reason to visit Beautiful Story.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning we're speaking with Sheridan County Commissioners Nick Siddle and Holly Jennings. Special guest, County Assessor Paul Fall. Now, Paul, before I move on, could you go over the 25% issue that we were talking about during the break? A lot of people, well, everyone got this automatically last year. You are not going to get it automatically this year.
That is correct, Floyd. I cannot emphasize enough to tell your neighbors, your friends, everybody you know that you got to sign up for the 25% discount or you're not getting it.
One more time, what's the best way to do that?
And that is online only. We'll have it, everything on our go to Sheridan County website, SheridanCounty.com com. No, Sheridan County.
.gov.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the homepage. Go to the assessor website. It's going to be there. We're going to have flyers, hopefully, everywhere we can think of having flyers with barcode on it. So you can just scan that and it takes you right to the website to fill out your the 25% exemption.
All right, folks, you were not automatically signed up for this year. Make sure you take Paul's advice. Get around there. Find this information. Use that code and fill this out online. Now, commissioners, with several new exemptions in place, Sheridan County will see less property tax revenue. How significant of a shortfall could that be?
Well, I guess I would pretty well assume that this year it might be a little bit less than last year, depending on what the legislature does, because everyone isn't automatically going to get that 25% one for your rental properties and for your bed and breakfasts or whatever, those kind of things. So I would assume that maybe it will be, and Paul could probably tell him this way, maybe slightly less than it was last year, unless the legislature decides to give everybody a 50% property tax break, which we don't know what they'll decide, you know, what the legislature will do. But I would think this year it will probably be a little better for us than last year. Would you agree, Paul?
Yeah, I think Commissioner Siddle's right. That should be a little less painful just because, again, of every residential property got it. So your rental properties all got the 25%, your Verbo's bed and bread, like Nick said. So this year you got to sign up. So how many people are going to forget or not even hear, realize you got to sign up? They're not going to get it. So that your taxes are going up 25% right off the gate.
How do those bed and breakfast establishments, how are they different? Are they registered as business or are they property? No,
generally, depending how they are, if you got a house that you're, you know, got some bedrooms you're renting out, it's residential. Hmm. So be considered residential. So you got 25% last year.
Okay, so bed and breakfasts are not registered as a business.
Well, they still could be, but if it's a house,
they're not going to be taxed on.
No, we're not. Most of those, we're not. We don't call it commercial. It's still a residence. You could sell, you know, you could buy it tomorrow and turn it back into a regular house.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I know I'm putting you on the spot here, Paul, but how would that change if it did? If someone up at legislature said, you know what, if you're going to use this as a bed and breakfast, I want it classified as commercial from here on out.
Oh, we could do that. And I don't know how much I don't think the legislature's really talked a lot, but I know other states are the Verbo's and all those that people are just using strictly Verbo's and whatever other ones are out there.
Yeah.
And it seems like
Airbnb.
Airbnb. So they're classing them different and making people pay more taxes on them. And I don't know, I haven't heard any scuttlebutt from the legislature yet on that, but down the road I could foresee something, you know, where they're going, okay, this is, we're going to call it residential, but we can tax it different anyway. It doesn't matter. Call it commercial, call it resident, you know, because commercial's taxed 9.5% is the assessment rate on commercial anyway. So it really wouldn't change
a whole lot.
Not unless they designate something different for those type of things.
Nick, I think you and I spoke about this last time you were on, but with those programs in action, the refunds, how hard did the county get hit in the budget this year?
You know, I think we were down, and Holly, correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere in the vicinity of 14% to 17%, I think, somewhere in that vicinity.
I think it was in there.
Yeah, somewhere in that vicinity is how far we were down. And we enacted a hiring freeze for our departments. Anybody resigns, we have to give approval to re-up that position. We had to cut some budgets quite a bit across the line and just, I mean, tighten up our belt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we did have at the end some unexpected revenue that came in. And so through PILT, we had budgeted for, what was it,
we budgeted $800,000 and we ended up getting like $1.7
million. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
$1.3 million.
$1.3 million, yeah.
And then there was also some unexpected revenue that came in from, I believe, increased more sales tax that came in.
what you had expected.
Yeah, I was actually looking at, we passed this, we had it in our board meeting not too long ago, where we were looking at last year's rollover. And it ended up being, I think, $1.8 million extra that came in from unexpected amounts that tax that came in above what we had budgeted for, as well as the budgeted expenses. What was spent was less than what we had budgeted.
Oh, wow.
So the rollover actually kind of helped with your equity and making sure your general fund account was not hit as hard as we thought it was going to be.
We did get a little bit of help too with some of that emergency fire relief money that, of course, we've got a budget into the future for weed and pest
and
rodent bridge and whatever. But we did get a little bit of windfall from that as well. But, you know, I think we can probably assume that even with what we talked about, that I don't think we're going to be looking at certainly having any increase this year. If anything else, it'll probably be level or maybe a small decrease again this year.
Yeah,
I would assume.
Holly, is there, when you sit down to look at the budget as a commission, are there certain places that you spend property taxes exclusively, or is all of that kind of thrown into one big bucket?
As I understand it, it's kind of all thrown in with sales tax and property tax, and all of it kind of thrown into general fund. Now, you do have special funds that, you know, your reserve funds that are specifically set aside, you know, like your MPATH unit. What did we set aside for that? 2.5 million?
Right. Over 5 years. Yeah.
That was done 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
But then you also have like police department, or not, I'm sorry, not police department, the sheriff's department. There's different reserve accounts. So I think it kind of more goes into a big pot and then out to each department.
Okay.
I mean, there's some state budgeted items that are specific. I mean, for example, the road fund, the SCARF fund. I mean, that money is designated and it has to go for roads. And only a certain amount of it can go for equipment. It has to go for road maintenance and repair and so on and so forth. And there's specific money that we get from the states that are for specific purposes. The property tax money basically can go into the general fund.
Okay.
And as we know, of course, our biggest budget item in the county is salaries. I mean, that's about over 80% of our budget is just staff.
Did you guys see a massive insurance increase this year?
Not massive, just a slight increase. Yeah, it wasn't.
You've seen bigger increases in the past.
And yes, I think there was a worry that it was going to increase quite a bit. But Cameron Duff, our executive director for the county, he really worked on going in and doing some discussions with the insurance companies to say, hey, how can we make sure that this is not a huge jump?
Mm-hmm.
And was very successful in that.
Oh, Cameron, that guy's a genius, I'm telling you. Well, I miss having him in here, too. He was always great to talk to. Are there contingency plans in place when you sit down to do the budget to ensure essential services like roads, public safety, infrastructure don't take massive hits? And when I say that, is it kind of just general discussion, or do you guys kind of have a, hey, here's the emergency plan we're going to put into effect right away?
Well, like Holly said, we do have reserves. If we and if we have to use the reserves, we certainly can. That's what they're there for. You know, I think that, or I certainly hope that the legislature understands that hey, we can be cut so much, but we definitely are going to have enough money. Everybody wants their roads maintained. Everybody wants an ambulance to come when you call 911. Everybody wants a deputy sheriff to show up when you call 911, and we certainly have no intentions of cutting those departments if we can help it.
And Floyd, when I'm looking at the budget, I look at it in the terms of our essential services are the top block. We want to make sure that they're the last that would ever be cut. They need to be the first funded, last cut. Hopefully never cut, but first funded. And then from there, then you have discussions on, okay, what is needs versus what is wants. And That's how I think of budgeting. I think, Nick, is that how you do it as well?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we always want to try and improve things in our county if we can, and we always want to try. One of the things that I'm in the entire time I've been a commissioner is I believe we need to take care of our people the best we can, our employees, and that's always been a priority for me as a commissioner to try and help our employees. And this year we were only able to give a small cost of living adjustment just because we didn't have the money, but the last thing I would ever like to do is hurt our employees.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, even though it may have been a small cost of living increase, there was a cost of living increase. Mm-hmm. And I'm not totally sure, but I can remember in years past things being probably a little less than what they are now. Right. And I'm thinking early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I had a friend working at the county, and he hadn't had a pay increase for quite a while, if right. I remember correctly.
And then also at the same time, insurance was going up and so on and so forth, and it was perceived by most of our employees as a pay cut, because you had to take more out for insurance and more out for retirement and so on, and the wages didn't increase. So yeah, it's we have great employees, we have really good benefits, and but we certainly know we aren't the highest paying entity in Sheridan County.
So, well, yeah. Working for the government's a good job, but
right.
It ain't going to be the highest paying the county. Now, Paul, before I switch gears completely, is there anything else that you would like to say pertaining to any of these issues that we've talked about?
Just the 25% homeowner exemption. I'm just going to beat that until I can't beat it anymore. Yep. We'll be at Third Thursday tonight. I have some of my folks volunteered to go down there. We're going to have flyers to hand out to everybody. So stop by the clerk's booth and get a flyer and let all your friends, relatives, everybody know, because this is going to be the hardest one to get people to do.
This should be the conversation at the coffee table.
Should be. Better be.
All right. So, folks, there you go. Head on down there to Third Thursday tonight. Paul and his people are going to be down there. They're going to be answering questions, handing out the flyers, making sure that you have that QR code. Keep that in your pocket. Make sure that you're getting this taken care of. Take advantage of these programs that are here for you. I've run out of time with you. I want to thank you guys for coming in this morning and speaking with me about these extremely important issues and wading through this swamp with me once again. We will get this figured out someday, Paul. I can guarantee it. Thank you.
Thanks, Floyd. Appreciate it, Floyd. As always.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Story Women's Club. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Shan Foster with Country Pet Inn and All Around Canine. You've had great success in adopting some of the more difficult dogs from the dog and cat shelter.
We've adopted close to 23 dogs from the animal shelter. About 85% have gone into service dog work.
And that's made a difference in both their lives and the owners.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, yeah.
So in some way, maybe the ones that people often consider to be difficult have potential that just isn't being correctly tapped into.
Yes, you see that a lot in your high drive dogs, where people don't know how to deal with the energy.
And so it's kind of interesting to match a person with potential who needs a little help.
Well said.
And then an animal with potential that also needs a little help, and they can kind of work together.
That's what you're looking for, where one is needing help in one area, the other is in another, and they meet in the middle. You're looking for how they can help each other in different situations when needed, mm-hmm. because it truly is a team.
If you're struggling with your pet, take the first step on a better path. Contact Shan Foster at countrypetinn.com.
Heads up.
Whether it's at work, at home, or play, take a few seconds to look up and locate any overhead power lines. When working outside, be sure to keep yourself and any tools or equipment you're using at least 10 feet away. Teach your children to fly kites or toys in areas away from overhead power lines, and do not attempt to remove anything that has become tangled with a line. Always assume an overhead power line is energized and dangerous. A safety message brought to you by Montana Dakota Utilities, in the community to serve.
This is the captain at Captain Clean. Did you know your carpet acts like a giant air filter, collecting allergens, bacteria, and all sorts of other treasures? Let our experts at Captain Clean prolong the life of your carpet, protect your indoor air quality, and make your carpet proud to call itself carpet again. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726, and schedule your next carpet cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you. We're Captain Clean.
Hey, Doug, my car looks like a leaf pile and smells like pumpkin spice gone wrong.
That's not pumpkin spice, Bob. That's old French fries.
Ah, can you fix that?
Absolutely. The Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop scrubs, shines, and polishes any vehicle inside and out.
Even mine?
Especially yours. We'll make it look brand new. No rake required.
Finally, my car won't double as a compost pile.
Fallen clean at the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop. Gift certificates are perfect for holidays, or get your ride protected before winter hits.
Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by the Story Women's Club members, Sue Shrum and Patty Hoover. Good morning, ladies. Welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, this year marks the 50th anniversary of the turkey dinner. Can you take us back to that first event in the 1970s and how this became such a beloved tradition?
Well, we can't take you back that far. This is only my 30th year to participate. But the main reason to start it was, one, we needed funds to keep the building in operating situations. Plus, it's a good community event. We have a Story banner shared in Buffalo. We have people coming from everywhere. But it's mainly to raise funds while we're having a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Sue, what makes this annual dinner kind of stand out compared to the other community events that you and I have talked about?
Well, as you know, we do other fundraising events during the year, but this is our big one. And it's something that is truly beloved by the people in our community. They love to come out and get together, sit with their family, friends, and neighbors, and enjoy a delicious turkey dinner with all the trimmings. And then especially our famous homemade pies for dessert. We have that included every year. So
now, Patty, how is the money spent? You said that it's used to kind of keep everything going up there.
Right.
How is that divvied out?
Propane, electricity, yard work.
Operating costs.
All our operating costs. And this building is a community building. We are used for voting. A lot of, like, the HOAs get there. People will rent it for weddings, parties. A lot of people don't have enough room to have their family for Thanksgiving and Christmas, so they will rent it. And we've got three ovens. We've got a couple of refrigerators. We are perfectly set up for rentals.
Now, Patty, you're the treasurer of the Story Women's
Club. No. I'm a trustee.
A trustee. Okay.
Yes. I've been president a couple of times. Treasurer isn't anything I want to do.
That's not your forte.
I make the money. I just don't want to keep track of it.
Exactly. Having this be such a pivotal community building to this community, how can we, I mean, it, or maybe I just should ask, can we apply for various grants and loans and things like that that would help that along?
We can, and we have in the past, like the Wyoming Community Fund. We used to have a Story Community Fund as well. We have applied for grants. We have received them. We have not done it in a couple of years because it takes people that really know what they're doing to apply for grants. Mm-hmm. We did several years ago become a 501c3, which has helped us considerably.
Absolutely. But basically, you kind of need a grant writer up there.
We had one, and she is no longer with us, but we need to pursue that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because it would make our life a lot easier. It's a lot of work to put on these events. We have a great time, but it would be nice if we had a little bit of income coming in that we didn't have to work so hard for.
Or even just a buffer.
Yes, a buffer.
Okay, if this one doesn't go as well as it did last year, we're not going to lose our pants over it. We're going to be okay.
This is our biggest money maker of the year. We have several events during the year, you know, Story Day Luncheon and First Sunday Trade Days Yard Sale. We do a lot of things, 50-50 raffles, but this is the biggest one, not just monetarily, but for bringing everybody together. We'll see people on October 5th that we only see once a year, and that is on that turkey dinner day.
That's
and
fantastic.
It's fun.
I was going to say.
You just get to hug everybody.
Get to see old friends.
Yes.
Like you said, they probably haven't seen in quite a while, or maybe lived in Story and come back, kind of call this a homecoming.
It's
right?
truly a community building activity.
Now, with everything, the costs going up, do you have any financial goals for the 50th anniversary, kind of the big top one?
Well, this is the 50th anniversary of this event. The Woman's Club was actually formed in 1919. We're well over 100 years old now.
Fantastic.
But we do have a buffer. We have raised funds. We've got. I don't want to say we have plenty of money because you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. But we
need
a reserve.
New roof.
Yeah.
We do have a reserve. But we really want to do this just to see everybody and to let them know what wonderful cooks we are and what wonderful pies we make. And that's why they're coming, is for these pies.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you.
Let's talk about these pies. One of my favorite subjects in the world. How many do you usually get?
We are asking for 55. Right now, I've got 50 accounted for. So I'm going to have to really work on getting the others. But we have a big variety, pecan, pumpkin, apple, cherry, strawberry, rhubarb, pecan, and then, of course, my favorite, because I make it, is sour cream raisin pie.
And that one is very famous. Everybody
loves
that one.
People fight over those.
Sour cream raisin?
It's a good southern dish, which I'm from the South, so.
What? I've never had that before.
A lot of people haven't.
That's something I'm going to have to experience. And on average, you usually serve about 400 people. Do you anticipate hitting a number even higher than that this year?
I think we will. If in 2022, after COVID, we'd had a hiatus for 2 years, and we got such a good turnout because people had missed us. I think with everything we're doing publicity-wise for this 50th anniversary, we're going to have more than 400 people.
Yeah, we'll have a good turnout.
What's really helpful is that we have to-go orders, which Sue is in charge of, and we will give her phone number out.
Yes.
That has increased a lot because we can only hold so many people at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it get in, get out. And I've usually been in charge of the dining room, and it's like, oh gosh, you got to hold up the line. I don't have enough places for people to sit. That the go orders make our line move a lot quicker.
So people can take them home with them. They can either get them cold and we'll have them in the refrigerator pre-ordered, or they can come in and get them hot. First thing when we open at 11, you can get your hot meal and take it home then, or you can just reheat it when you get home.
Sue, how long do all the women up there bake, cook, prepare?
Oh, we've already started. I have committed to making 4 pies, so I have all the pie dough in my freezer ready to roll out the day before, and I'll be making 2 apples, a pecan, and a cherry.
Oh, fantastic.
And we get everything ready, and we're really busy. The 2 days before the event, there will be a lot of cooking going on up there.
Patty, how many turkeys?
20.
My goodness.
20 turkeys, and we'll have 16 portions of dressing, and like I said, 55 pies.
A homemade gravy to go on the
mashed potatoes, green beans, carrots, all the trimmings.
Yeah.
Especially the cranberry sauce. That's my favorite.
Cranberry sauce and beets.
20 turkeys. How many ovens are going to be rolling?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah. Because I mentioned it's not all going to be prepared right there at the store at the women's.
No. We're going to have to use our own ovens, our own. I like to use a roaster, cook mine overnight. But there's quite a few of us that are going to be making turkeys and pies and stuffing.
It's not just a community dinner. This is a massive community
event.
Effort.
Yes, it is.
We have some very dedicated volunteers in the Women's Club, and we are so grateful to be a part of it.
How big is the Story Women's Club? How many members do you have right now?
Patty, I think we have 55
members. 55, 56. We've kind of gone down a little bit at the height of it, at least in my 30 years. We had close to 80 people. Unfortunately, Story at one point in time started aging. People would move to Sheridan to be closer to the hospitals and things. But we've got a really young community coming up right now. And I think...
We need to recruit some of those ladies.
We need to have a little membership drive.
Yeah.
I think that would be fantastic. A lot of people don't realize what they can be doing for their community until they're kind of introduced to it, taken up there and shown.
And how much fun they can have while they're doing it.
And we do have a lot of fun. But truly, the Women's Club is the heart and soul of Story. We're an unincorporated, tiny little town, maybe 1,000 people by now. And
officially 903.
Yeah, that's what it says on the sign. but it's really a good cause. We do memorial dinners for anyone in the community that suffers a loss in their family. We will put that on for free at the Women's Club. And all the women bring dishes in, all the members bring dishes in, and we just do that as something, a service to our community.
And like... In the next couple of weeks, we'll also have it open for flu shots. I think it's October 19th.
And we do blood drives there.
Wow, so I mean...
And the voting, and, you know, it's a good place to be.
Patty, what motivated you to get involved with the Story Women's Club?
That's a good question. My husband and I had the Piney Creek General Store and the Waldorf Astoria, and actually before I moved up here, they were having a dinner, and they didn't have enough butter. So we stripped the store of butter and took it over to the Women's Club, and that's when I first got introduced. And then I moved up the following year in 1995 and started working, because I just do that. Just Sue and I both are community-oriented. We want to have everybody together, have a good time.
Wow. What about you, Sue?
Well, I've only lived full-time in Story since 2019, and I don't really know how I got involved, but, I'm retired and I don't want to sit around. I need something to do. And so there you go. Mm-hmm. I'm part of the Women's Club. I help Patty with publicity, and she's a trustee. And
now when the Story Women's Club meets, because I imagine you meet, go over.
The first Thursday of the month at 1:30, we meet at the Women's Club every month except July.
All right, say that date and time for me one more time for the people.
The first Thursday of the month at 1:30. And any of you women out there that would like to come join us, we would love to have you.
Yes, we would.
We would welcome you with open arms.
All right. They need the help. And, you know, it's one thing that I've had conversations with the VFW, the Legion, multiple clubs, and they've all said that they've kind of had a fall in membership. And this has been going on for probably the last decade. And a lot of that has to do with individuals kind of finding that companionship or fellowship and online stuff. But I'm going to tell you that nothing beats sitting down with community members and really making an impact.
Connection is much better in person than it is on social media.
And I think another fantastic, aspect of that, things get too narrow online. You know, I might meet someone that I would have never talked to before and realized there's so much more out there by going to a social club in person and sitting down and saying, wow, you know, I would have probably never said hi to you before, and now you're my best friend. And I think things like that happen a lot because of these clubs. And so I think a lot of younger generations are missing out on that. So, Sue, would you do me a favor and tell us all about the dinner coming up? When and where can we take place?
Okay. The dinner will take place on Sunday, October 5th, between 11 and 2. And the price for adults is $20. For children between 6 and 10, it's $10. 5 and under is free. And you can call ahead for takeout orders. You can call me. And my number is 307 217 1903. And I will find out all the details. You can come pick it up at whatever time you want to on Sunday the 5th.
Fantastic. Ladies, thank you so much for coming in this morning. I'm so glad I was able to get you in here.
We are, too.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, it's
we
always,
appreciate it.
Anytime the Story Women's Club needs anything, shoot me an email. I'd be happy to get you on here as much as I possibly can. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. You know, every day on Main Street brings new faces and familiar friends through our doors, and each one deserves something special. At Frackleton's, it's not just about the food, it's about the feeling. Our team is here to make sure every bite, every sip, and every moment feels just right. Whether you're celebrating a big day or just enjoying the little things, we'd love to be a part of it. It's not just about the food, it's about the feeling. Book your table now at Frackleton's.com.
It's time to cowboy up and register for the annual Wolf Creek Wrangle Trail Run. Race day is September 20th, and you can run, hike, or participate virtually in 5-mile, 7-mile, half marathon, or a 30K. This event is hosted by the historic Eden's Ranch, and all proceeds benefit Habitat for Humanity. Spots are limited. To register, go to runwolfcreekwrangle.com. This year's Wolf Creek Wrangle is brought to you by Fremont Toyota and sponsored in part by Sheridan Media and Sheridan County Travel and Tourism.
You've heard that legendary voice. Now see him live. Dan Tominski brings his blazing band to the YO Theater Saturday, September 20th at 7 p.m. The voice behind the Soggy Bottom Boys, lighting up the stage in Sheridan for one night only. Grab your friends, grab your seats, and get ready to holler for more. Dan Tominski, Saturday, September 20th, 7 p.m., YO Theater.
Sage Grouse Hunters, be sure to have your required Sage Grouse permit with you when you head out for your hunt. The permit is free on the Wyoming Game and Fish Department website or at regional offices. The permit helps the department survey sage-grouse hunters and helps in the management of the species. All licensed sage-grouse hunters must carry the permit along with their game bird license. This includes daily, annual, lifetime, and pioneer license holders. Good luck in the field this fall. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and the station.
There's a lot of exciting offers on the fall online marketplace at SheridanMedia.com. Check it out. Extend your outdoor season with a portable propane fire pit from Dalton's RV. $100 gift cards to Frackleton's. $500 gift card to Pride and Groom. How about rounds of golf at the Hidden Bridge Golf Course? Wow! With your bid starting at 50% of retail value, your dollar's going to go a lot further. Shop for you. Shop for gift. Shop now. The fall online marketplace at SheridanMedia.com.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Sheridan County is where wild meets working. Deer, elk, and cattle all roam the same land, but not all fences work for everyone. At Sheridan Community Land Trust's new wildlife-friendly fence demonstration at the Big Goose Natural Area, you can see traditional fences side by side with styles that let wildlife pass safely and keep livestock secure. Learn more at SheridanCL.com.